your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name's Joe DiBiase, and I've never had a faux hawk.
And I'm Jordan Hanskin, and I am ashamed to say that I did, but that was because of solidarity.
He currently has one right now. That's why we're not on video.
That's not what happened.
That is. No, we're not on video literally because I forgot my laptop at home, and that's it. And we're recording this at work. not because you don't have a faux hawk or anything. So yeah, Jordan's back on the podcast for today's episode. I know I flew solo on Monday's show. Jordan, you missed new numbers by the Sabres.
No. Oh, so sorry I missed that.
Yeah, I mean, don't buy a Victor Olofsson jersey. Third time in 4 years, this guy's changing his number. Okay, you can't decide.
Is he a cool one now?
71. Hesh.
Yeah, that's a cool one. That's good.
Early Hesh.
That's a scorer number. You just feel like that goes.
Yeah, I think that's right. 68 was Jager, though. I liked that. You know, not a lot of people wear it.
Yeah, that's true.
So 32 Aaron Dell was obviously the big story, though. Do you have any take on that? We're going to do our Team Russia Olympic hockey projection today. We did USA on last week's show. Today, we're going to do Russia before we get to Canada, Finland, and Sweden. We'll probably stick with the major countries. Maybe we'll do an episode on the others and kind of group them all together, like Germany, Slovakia, Switzerland, Latvia. But today, we're going to do Russia. But before we do get into that, Aaron Dell, Sabres probable backup goaltender, although I guess it's possible if Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen wins the starting job out of camp that Craig Anderson would be his backup, and then this doesn't matter because Aaron Dell is sent to Rochester. But for the time being, he's got an NHL contract. He's going to be wearing number 30. Do you have a problem with this, them giving out Ryan Miller's number for the first time since he was traded?
Yeah, I'm not cool with that. I think Ryan Miller's numbers should be respected. I don't know. Maybe he's not at that level, but like, were they handing out 39s after Hasek?
Nope.
No. And I think Miller's not Hasek, but he, for the franchise, he should be put on a similar pedestal. I think he's the winningest goalie. He's going to be in the rafters. Like, I think it's crazy that they're giving out his number.
I thought even like if you weren't going to retire it, which I would argue I would retire it because even though, no, he's not, he might not even be a Hockey Hall of Famer, although there are people that think he will. Tom Gazzola, who I used to do the Locked On NHL podcast with, who resides up in Edmonton. I remember asking him that question when Miller retired. He's like, he's absolutely a Hall of Fame goaltender. You know, I think he's on the fence, but I would put him in. And
Curtis Joseph got him.
Right. And to me, it's also about the fans and appealing to what your fans want to see. And you've got 20 years since Dominic Hasek left, since he was traded to Detroit. That's 20 years. That is almost half of the entire organization's existence. In that time, who's the most beloved Sabre? I think it's arguable that it's Ryan Miller. Who's the most decorated Sabre in that 20-year span? I think it's because of longevity and because of the level of play. It's Ryan Miller. Like, we love Danny Briere. We love, like, Chris Drury was an incredible player, but they were here for 4 years. And were either of them ever named the best player at their position in a given year? No. So I think Miller's got beloved by the fans, checked. He's got records for the organization, that's checked. And I think you've got a 20-year stretch of this organization where I'd say he's the best player.
I totally agree. I agree with all of it. I just think he is – he's not a Mount Rushmore Saber, but he's pretty darn close. Like, he's right there. And the only reason I think he wouldn't be is because if you're picking one goalie, there's one better.
Mount Rushmore Sabres, go. You can't throw out that line and then not follow through on it.
So how many are there? There's four presidents
on Mount Rushmore. Come on, history buff.
I gotta remember. Did they sneak like James K. Polk?
Did a certain recent president sneak his own face on there?
Could you imagine? Just light in the corner.
He's photobombs Mount Rushmore.
No. Hasek.
Yep.
Perreault.
Mm-hmm.
Got to put a defenseman on there, don't I?
How about Lindy?
Okay, I'll put Lindy as coach slash player.
Yeah.
And you know what? I'm putting Jenneret on there.
Oh, I was just going to mention that. I wanted to wait and see if you would get to it, and you did get to it.
Yeah. I think that's the right four.
Yes. That would be an incredible Mount Rushmore.
Lindy's the one that's on the edge. I think Jenneret's ahead of Lindy.
Who would be, if it's not Lindy, is there who else? Rick Martin, Rene Robert. It'd be hard to pick between the
probably
two.
Probably one of the two. That's a hard thing. So I think I'm good with that list.
LaFontaine, no. Yeah, I think Miller, this is good.
Miller's close to that spot too. But yeah. It would be tough to put two goalies on there.
Yeah, that's right. I would absolutely put Maxi Finneganoff on the list if I were in charge, and then people would be mad, but that's how it would go. I would put
Philip Gogola.
Would he still be on the German Olympic team, we think? He's probably playing over in Europe somewhere, isn't he? Well, maybe we'll mention that in a coming episode. Yeah, let's talk a little bit about – we got the Prospects Challenge, by the way, coming next Friday night. The roster came out yesterday. I went through that a little bit. No Owen Power, no Ryan Johnson, no Eric Portillo because they've got their college seasons coming up. But Jack Quinn, you've got Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen, who's probably going to play most, if not all, for the Sabres in net. Who am I missing? JJ Paterka, your boy JJ, is going to be at this thing. Are you going to watch?
Maybe on like the day after.
I was like the Friday night. I might get to it. I might even go, but. They're playing the Sunday game at 1:00. Come on.
Wait, they're playing two games?
You're trying to compete with the Bills? It's Sunday at 1:00 with Oskari Laaksonen?
Well, depending on how the Bills do, they might be. We canceling the Bills? We out on the Bills?
Are we ready? Are people listening to this more today than they would have been had the Bills won on Sunday? Is that the question?
They're going to the Sabres for hope. I tell you guys.
You got to go somewhere else.
The Bills will be fine. But I can't believe they're that's weird. Friday night's also like you want to go to that on a Friday night?
Yeah, no. Saturday at 3 is the one that I'm most likely to
I think
to.
That's a morning activity, to be honest. I think it's like a great like Saturday at like 10.
Yes.
Go there for a couple hours and then you have the rest of your day.
Yep. It's going to be warm in Buffalo too. It's like high 84 this weekend. Yeah. So like escape the heat a little bit, get in the rink, a little morning hockey like that. I completely agree with you.
You got to get a nice cup of coffee and sit in the bleachers.
Oh yeah. Oh nice. Yeah. All right. Olympic hockey projection. We are at Team Russia. We did Team USA last week. So if you want to check that one out, you can catch it wherever you're listening to the podcast here. We'll do Canada next, and then we'll get to the Scandinavians. Then we will do Czech Republic, and then we'll do an episode kind of wrapping up the rest of them, Denmark, Germany, Slovakia, etc. So Team Russia, we've got forwards, 13 of them. I've got 7 defensemen and 3 goaltenders is what I have listed out here. We can go one by one here. You've got your team in front of you, right?
I do.
All right. You want to start us off? You want to go line one?
Yeah. So I think you just keep the two star veterans. These are going to be the leaders of this team. And I think you go Ovechkin, Malkin, and then Kucherov. You have your best player, who I think is Kucherov right now. And then you have your two staples, like your two... Probably the most prolific, two of the most prolific Russian players of all time.
So I am close to you. I split it up a little bit. I do have Malkin and Kucherov, but I took Ovechkin off the top line. And I'll tell you why in a minute. But I put Kirill Kaprizov up on line one. Just flying around the ice. You know, like that's a guy I'm going to want to play 20 minutes a night. I think he's already an elite player in the league. And it wasn't all about him. It was some about him, but I'll explain why I put Ovechkin in line two in a second. But what's your line two?
Line two, I have Artemi Panarin.
Mm-hmm. The bread man.
Yeah, and then I have Ivan Barbashev.
Okay.
And Kirill Kaprizov.
Okay, why'd you go Barbashev there? Because there's one other... Ah, man, is he great? I don't know. I'll tell you. My second line is Evgeny Kuznetsov down the middle. And I wanted to pair him with Alex Ovechkin because of their playing time and their chemistry together playing for the Capitals, and then put Artemi Panarin on the right side for really just an elite top six. Kuznetsov's not, he's kind of had a down, he's arrowed down on him the past couple of seasons, for sure. In fact, there's been a lot of character questions about him in Washington. He was suspended at the end of last year for either, was it falling asleep in a meeting or showing up late to a meeting, was one of the two. But still, 29 points in 41 games last year, 52 and 63 the year before that. He's had 80 points in the league. So I went Kuznetsov personally.
Okay. Well, I have Kuznetsov on line three.
So okay.
Just like kind of mixing it up, I guess, kind of trying to find a balance.
Yep. Who'd you have in centering?
It's Kuznetsov with Vladimir Tarasenko and Andrei Shvechnikov on line three.
Oh man. They have so many wingers, don't they?
Their wingers are amazing.
Yeah. They're going to be running up and down trying to outscore you.
But I think they're going to play Kovalchuk when they shouldn't.
Oh, like kind of that. What's the word? Achievement spot.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's going to happen. Maybe like one guy, at least on every team. I had a different guy for that on my team than Kovalchuk, but you could be right. My line three was Nemestikov. I'm forgetting his name off the top of my head now. I only wrote by last name. Vladislav Nemestikov.
Which maybe one of the top five NHL names right now.
Really?
Vladislav Nemestikov.
That is pretty dang good. You're
that's
right.
A great name.
I've got him centering Andrei Svechnikov on the right and Pavel Buchnevich on the left, who was really good for the Rangers. And they kind of gave him away to St. Louis for nothing, the second round pick, because they didn't want to pay him. But kind of adding to that wing depth, he's fast as well. Svechnikov's a great goal scorer in the league. Nemestikov, this team is not great down the middle. They're okay. They're going to crush some of these other countries. But when they got to play Canada and the U.S., I think they're going to be severely lacking down the middle. Nemestikov is fine. He's good. 17 points, though, in 53 games last year. That's for me, that was my third line center. You had Barbashev in there. Maybe if I revisit that, he kind of makes more sense on the third line, but I was going for offense, and Barbashev's more of a two-way guy. Nemestikov's got at least a little bit more playmaking. So I went with him on my line three. What about your line four for Team Russia Olympic hockey projections?
So my line four, I have Nemestikov. I didn't have him yet. And then I have his wingers being Pavel Buchnevich, and yep. I got Kovalchuk. I just think that they're gonna play Kovalchuk.
Okay.
The last ride of Ilya Kovalchuk.
How old is he at this point? How old do we think he is? He's 40? He's gotta be
37. He was young when he stopped playing, I feel.
Yeah, 38. He's 38.
Okay.
Last year in the KHL for Avangard Omsk. You think I'm pronouncing that right? OMSK?
I don't know.
17 points in 16 games. So, you know, like the point of game player in the KHL still. And remember, he came back to the NHL. So last year, we've kind of recent tape on him. 9 points in 17 games for the Kings. Then he went to Montreal. He had 13 points in 22 games. And then he had 4 points in 7 games for the Capitals. So about what, like a 40-point pace, 50-point pace playing in for 3 different teams, his last NHL action. So, all right, Kovalchuk makes sense. I have a different guy. My line four, I have Pavel Datsyuk centering line four with Vladimir Tarasenko on the right. Don't know how healthy he's going to be. And then I have Denis Gurianov of the Dallas Stars playing on the other side. Datsyuk is older than Kovalchuk is. He is 42. I'm going to double check this real quick. 43 years old. But to me, he just kind of fits that fourth line role better because he's one of the best two-way Russian skaters in NHL history. And last year in the KHL, like he's still putting up decent enough offense, 35 points in 51 games, to where I think I went Career Achievement Award to Datsyuk because center was weaker also instead of Kovalchuk. Maybe they both make it, though.
I think it's possible. I think they like promoting the KHL, too.
Right. They're not going to only have NHL players. Right. Because they won't.
I think it's like a rule. I think in their country is that they can't do that.
Yeah. I want Maxim Afinogenov to come out of retirement and try to make this team as that like career achievement award, but he has not played.
There are other career achievement guys that have bigger careers.
I know.
Unfortunately for him.
I know. I want to see him play hockey again, but I think his career is probably over.
Isn't the KHL on ESPN Plus?
It is, but he did not play last season. He did not officially retire also, though. So I don't know. Did he just sit out because of COVID? Did he opt out? And maybe he's coming back this season. We're going to have to wait and see on that one. All right. So overall in the forward group, like, right, do we have a pretty good
I think so. And then, like, if you have, like, the healthy scratch guys, that's where you get, like, Radulov or
Radulov is good. I mentioned Gurianov. He might be a healthy scratch guy.
Nikita Gusev.
Or, again, there'll be KHL guys that kind of are the extras. Yeah. I don't think it's as good as Team USA. I think wing-wise they are, but center-wise, I think they're going to be falling a little bit behind the other kind of powerhouses. Before we get to our Russian blue lines for the Olympics, rockauto.com, with the ever-increasing numbers of makes and models, it's now impossible for your local chain store parts store to stock all the parts you need. So why endure often pointless or seemingly intimidating questioning and wait while the person behind the counter just orders the parts that you could be ordering at home yourself? Choosing to spend 30%, 50%, even 100% more on the same parts that you'd be buying yourself. Honda Odyssey fuel pump is $353 in the chain store. It's $216 at rockauto.com. Prices are reliably low for every customer. Go explore their easy-to-use website today to find the solution to your auto parts needs. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available. Write "Locked On" in their "How Did You Hear About Us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need. rockauto.com. And before we get back into our Team Russia projection, I also want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment you love without the hassle. DirecTV Stream brings you live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, which means you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So stop waiting. Get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Welcome back. Joe DiBiase and Jordan Hanskin here on the Locked On Sabres podcast. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports on Twitter. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. Let's hop back into our Team Russia projection. We went through the forwards. Now we are at the defensemen. Usually this has been a weak spot for Russia in past international tournaments. And Jordan, I think this is probably going to be a similar storyline for them.
Yeah, I think that they got a couple studs and then the rest is they could hurt you. So who's
your top pair?
So my top pair, I think what they're going to do is they're probably going to play the studs the most. I don't think they're going to mix them. I think they're going to play Provorov and Sergachev the most. That's my thought with them. I think if you have a great pair, make them play 25 and then the rest, they play less, but they could, I mean, the Olympics though, they might be like, oh, we got to protect these guys too. So who knows what they decide there.
I have the same top pair. I know they're both left shot guys, but again, like they're just so much better, I think, than the rest of them that I'd put them together and I would play them even more than 25 minutes. So I agree. We have very similar blue lines here. Pair two for you is who?
I have Vladislav Gavrikov and Alex Romanov.
Okay. How much of these guys have you watched? Is the question I kind of want to ask.
Little.
I would also agree with that. I'm not studying Columbus Blue Jackets third pair defensemen. Can't lie. I have Dmitry Orlov and Nikita Zaitsev. I'm just kind of going with the flow of the team. These guys stink in their own end. Both of these guys. Zaitsev is maybe the worst defenseman in the NHL in his own end. And Orlov's not a lot, by the way.
That's tough.
But they're both good offensive defensemen. They can skate. They can pass. Orlov has great hands. I think he's a little more dynamic than Zaitsev is. I'm just kind of going with the style of the team. I just got to score goals. I am not going to limit others to scoring, at least not with my blue line. So why not just put guys out there that can help the forwards contribute? So I went that direction, just almost ignoring my own end, which I'm sure is going to bite me in the ass. But I went Orlov and Zaitsev as my second pair. So third pair for you, who do you got left? Maybe so
you had Zaitsev. I didn't have Zaitsev on my team.
Okay.
I got Dmitry Orlov. And
that's fine, though. He's awful in his own end.
And then I have Sabre legend Nikita Zadorov.
Oh, I mean, in terms of toughness, I mean, he's the guy that's going to take your head off.
I mean, they're going to have one of those, right?
Like, and it'd be him.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that, you know, Orlov is a more of an offensive player that he could play with Zadorov. I think Zadorov adds some energy that you would want in the Olympics. You want a team. You don't want Canada going up against you and thinking, oh, we're never going to get popped at all. Mm. We're never going to get hit at all. And you have Zadorov on line three. I think Zadorov might try to light a guy up. I don't know. If I was coaching their team, I would want a guy like that. Just one. You don't have to play him a lot.
Hey,
make it a little bit nerve-wracking.
So I also have Nikita Zadorov as my third pair left shot defenseman. Especially with an Orlov Zaitsev second pair that really only gives you offense and doesn't give you much else. Give me the stay at home, take your head off type of defenseman and Nikita. And then I have someone named Artem Zub as my third pair right shot defenseman. What a name. I don't know anything about this player other than he plays for Ottawa. He only played 1 year this past year, and his cap hits $2.5 million. So
that's a Star Wars character guy. That's like, well, the one, remember the debate of like the,
oh yeah,
the Star Wars.
I had you guess, remember? Player? Yeah.
Artem Zub sounds like a Star Wars character.
Oh yeah. He is like a, what is he? What is Artem Zub?
Artem Zub is a senator from an Outer Rim
planet. Yes. I don't know what region. He's probably some desolate planet.
Palpatine's like, we got to get Artem Zub on board with our new policy.
Yeah. He's always no, and he never puts up a fight. He's always just goes along with whatever.
Oh, Artem Zub doesn't have a mind of his own. He just follows.
No, no backbone on that Artem Zub.
Artem Zub.
So that's who I got as my third pair defenseman. Again, overall, as we kind of just named them off here, a good top pair, but, this is not the best Russian team I've ever seen because I don't really like the blue line and I don't love the center depth, you know, like against Canada and the US, I think they're definitely second rate.
Yeah. I thought the Russian team was going to be better going into this. I thought that they would be one of the favorites. And I was thinking mostly just because I was thinking, oh, you're adding Kucherov to the mix.
Yeah. Kaprizov.
Yeah. Panarin's in his prime. Kaprizov, even Buchnevich is pretty good.
Yep.
Yeah, like it's not deep at all.
That's right. Not deep is definitely the right. They are elite on the wing, and I would just say they're pretty good at best everywhere else.
But they have the best at one position.
And we'll get to that in just a second because, yeah they are great at one other position. But before we name off who our goaltenders are for the Russian Olympic team next year, Built Bar has got a bunch of new flavors. I got a list in front of me. What do we think? German chocolate sounds good. Cookies and cream sounds good. I'm not a big orange fan, but if you like orange, I'm sure it's good. Cherry Barcia sounds great. I'm always in on cherry. I've been doing that with ice cream lately. Like the cherry, they're obviously making a playoff cherry. Darcy.
You had Parker House is an elite.
Ooh.
Cherry ice cream. Maraschino cherries.
I gotta go get some ice cream. Or just go get a Cherry Barcia Built Bar. My favorite flavor though is the grasshopper. It's been a kind of a sneaky flavor on me because I don't usually like mint, but it's so good. I love it. That's my favorite flavor. I got a box in the cupboard right now. They're healthy too. 17 to 18 grams of protein, calories ranging from 130 to 180, only 4 to 5 grams of sugar, 4 to 5 grams net carbs, amazing flavors, all tasty and all healthy. Go to built.com and use the promo code locked on and you'll get 15% off your order. Use promo code locked on for 15% at built.com. And then before we get into Russian goaltenders, we also want to take some time out for betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts. Since the last time we talked about the Sabres here, because they came out with those over-under point totals, the Coyotes were in last in terms of point totals at 67.5. The Sabres were at 69.5. Since we talked about that, the Sabres have rocketed down to 65.5 for last place in the NHL at BetOnline's over-under point totals. So the money must have been going in on the under, right? That's how that happens September.
I kind of still love the under. Like, I don't
65.5. It's so
with the roster that they have right now, I don't see how they win a lot of games.
Yeah, it's especially the goaltending is just the goaltending is gonna be the worst in the league. Second worst, Carter Hutton starting for the Coyotes. So yeah, Locked On or Bet Online. Use the promo code Locked On. Head over to betonline.ag. I don't know, Jordan, if you saw, but I made a big futures bet over at Bet Online. Did you see it? I tweeted about it.
I missed it. Plus, I've been doing a lot of college football.
College football?
That's yeah.
Do you have like a trick in college football? I know you liked flyers at home in the NHL.
No, but I think it's not really a trick. I've been betting Iowa's been a moneymaker.
Iowa. Yes. Iowa's Hawkeyes.
Iowa's a moneymaker. I feel like people dismiss Iowa a lot. I've kind of been betting the big guys playing against the little schools. I won money line with Vanderbilt. They just came off an FCS loss. Mm. They lost to an FCS team and then they went out and beat Colorado State. So that was a big one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think the college football, it's a lot of betting teams following losses. They usually follow bad losses with a good effort.
Right.
So, I don't know. So that might mean Florida State over Wake next week.
I bet plus 6,000 Bills to play the Rams in the Super Bowl. Exact matchup. Plus 6,000 Bills versus
it Rams. Looks good on the one side.
Yeah. They look great last night. They were playing the Bears, though. The
Chiefs look pretty tough to beat. I'll say that.
Cleveland could knock them out. Cleveland's my hope. They look good. They almost had it.
As long as the Scottish Hammer can catch a ball.
Just came down to the Scottish Hammer.
It came down to the Scottish Hammer.
But anyways, head over to betonline.ag. Online sportsbook experts. Use the promo code Locked On. All right. Russian Olympic hockey projections for the 2022 Olympics. The next hockey tournament we're probably going to be like having a vested rooting interest for because I don't think the Sabres are going to be good, obviously. So in net, you mentioned it, best goalie in the world. It might be arguable, you can easily call him that. So I'll let you do the honors because I'm going to have the same.
I don't think it is arguable. I think he is the best goalie in the world.
Andrei Vasilevsky.
Yeah. Do you have a...
I think Hellebuck is in the conversation.
Oh, wow.
I think Connor Hellebuck is in the conversation.
Because of how bad they are.
Yeah, like Vasilevsky's numbers are incredible, and he's won back-to-back cups, but he's playing behind the best team we've ever seen built. And Connor Hellebuck's got Tucker Poolman as his number one defenseman. Like, come on. That's a real person, by the way.
He does bail them out sometimes, though.
Vasilevsky. He does. And like, he's, like, fun to watch. So, like, he's super athletic.
Yeah, and they are so aggressive. They do give him – like, he gets tough shots on him. It's not like he's always back there not getting anything. But, yeah, like, I think Hellebuck's a good pick. That's a good pick. But, yeah, Vasilevsky. I mean, easy. That's one of the reasons why I think they're still going to be a favorite, even though their depth is weak. Yeah, even their backup's not terrible either.
Right, but, no, you're right. Like, part of their strength – like what if Russia makes it to the gold medal game? I'm going to hesitate to say what happens if they win it. I guess they could, but man, that'd be nuts. But let's say they make it to the gold medal game. How does that happen? It happens by their wingers just scoring a crazy amount of goals. Ovechkin and Kucherov and Panarin and Kaprizov, like they're just unstoppable up and down the ice. The defense hangs in there as much as they can, but Vasilevsky is bailing them out.
Right.
Like that's how they make it. And he's got to be standing on his head for them to do it, especially when they go up against, you know, more complete teams. So Vasilevsky, easy number one. Number two, did you also have Semyon Varlamov?
I actually had Bobrovsky.
Oh, we were going to disagree on him. All right, Bobrovsky, down year last year though.
Yeah, I know. I mean, I could totally see them picking Varlamov because how good he was. I don't think they go young yet. I don't think they would feel like they need to go young. I don't think like Shesterkin's got a chance.
I don't know if you put a number three, but I did, and I put Shesterkin as my number three
just to give him the experience of hanging out.
Let him hang around. I did this with Spencer Knight, I think, for the U.S. team. Let him hang around a little bit. He also has been great. He hasn't played a ton. He's only played like 40-whatever games in the league. But I think he's legitimately good, and I question whether Bobrovsky still is, and he's not going to play anyway for me. So I'd rather give the kid a shot there. But, yeah, I mean...
I like Varlamov better. I think I would switch to Varlamov.
Yeah. You've got Ilya Samsonov too. He hasn't done enough in Washington to warrant this.
No.
Who's the, there's other goalies around the league, younger guys that might compete, but I think it's going to be a 4 or 5 man race to make the roster. And again, what does it matter? Cause Vasilevsky is going to be the starter. All right. So on the overall, what's your overall consensus on this Olympic team? We'll kind of maybe go projections as we go. So we've only done Russia and the U.S. So between the two teams that we've kind of built so far, would you have the U.S. above Russia, or would you have Russia?
I would put the U.S. above Russia.
With a big gap, or do you think they're close?
I like the fact that the U.S. is built around centers and Russia's not. I think that that helps the U.S. a lot.
The U.S. also deep on the blue line.
Like, I could see, like, Nemesnikov or Barbashev, like, really limiting the potential of, like, an Artemi Panarin or a Kirill Kaprizov. I think that that hurts them a lot. I think they're going to be, like ahead of the play, like, a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to keep them off. But you never know. Like, they could also be just, like, typical Russian fashion. They just look, like, so fluid and so clean the entire time. So you never really know, but...
Or they're just going to bring over some KHL guy we've never heard of, and he's going to look great in between Panarin and Kaprizov.
That usually happens, too. I mean, they're a tough out. I would still think that they're a front runner to medal.
Yeah, I would, before seeing some of these other teams, I think bronze seems realistic for them. I think Sweden might have a down year, but we'll talk about them a little bit coming up. But anyways, yeah. So Team Russia, overall, I think not as good as the U.S., great on the wings. If I were their coach, I might even get creative. So throw Panarin at center. Just say, screw it with faceoffs. We need to get our best guys on the ice. Let's go Panarin, Kaprizov, and Svechnikov or something like that.
It's not terrible.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they get to that point. I don't know. They'll be an interesting team. They always are. So that's pretty much going to do it for today's episode. Nothing else going on in Saberland yet that we could tell you about. There are players skating back on the ice. I saw pictures of Zemgus Girgensons and Artur Ruotsalainen, Robert Hag. Robert Hag is a Buffalo Sabre. They are skating at Harbor Center together. So guys are starting to show up. Training camp is coming up in a couple weeks. Prospect Challenge coming up next week. Preseason's like 16 days away. So it's gonna approach us really quickly here, as it normally does here at the start of the NHL regular season. Follow us on Twitter. I'm at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan's at JR Hanskin. The podcast account at Locked On Sabres. Again, if you're listening to the podcast, you can now watch the podcast on our YouTube channel. So head over to YouTube, search Locked On Sabres, and you'll find us pretty easily. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast. We'll talk to you next. Projecting Team Canada's Olympic projection here on the Locked On Sabres podcast.